We have heard the story that is both bold and brilliant, the story that has one purpose and one ending, and it is the story of God, more specifically, the story of God and his people, and even more than that, the story of God's great love. From the very beginning, in our first reading from the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, he made it good. He made it for a purpose. He made it because he loved. And then from that point forward, regardless of what happened, however many times humanity disobeyed God's will, followed away from him, whatever happened, from that point forward, time and time again, through all the prophets, through all the events, he constantly showed his great love, the refrain that runs through all of Scripture. And when nothing else seemed to work, we get to today. Today, a moment of a great encounter with God, where when there's nothing left, God gave the last bit he could. He gave his son to shatter sin and death, opening up a whole new avenue, changing the entire character of the world because he loves. And now we are part of that same story, grafted into it through baptism, brought here by his grace so that we can be people who experience God's great love, people who know he exists. That comes to a great challenge for us. I think a lot of us may have never experienced the resurrection. We come here constantly. Maybe we come here every Sunday. Maybe we come here every day. Maybe we come here sporadically. Maybe we pray sporadically. But that's not the point. The point of why we're here, the point of why we do any of this at all, is because Jesus rose from the dead. And it's not just some idea. It's not a concept. It's not some theological premise that we created to make everything fit into this nice puzzle. This is the reality. This is what's true. And that's what's so bold about what we proclaim. This isn't some idea. God truly did rise from the dead. And the problem is, it's so hard to prove that. Try. The only evidence we have is, you know, the cloth that he was buried in that has his image, and then the fact that Veronica wiped his face so we have his blood. Those are the two main pieces of evidence. But the reality is, we don't have his bones. If we did, he didn't rise from the dead. We don't have anyone else who's done it. We can't go, oh yeah, this happens about every century. Pretty common. It happened only once. And so the proof is hard for us. But the proof is still there. And the proof is there because this is real, which means we can experience it. We can touch it. We can feel it. We can hear it. But to do so requires a leap of faith of our own. That through prayer we must encounter the true and living God. We must reach out to him. And once we do, we encounter something so weird, so profound, so strange, that when we do, we realize it. We realize there's something else out there, and that something has truly loved me. Now, this may seem very theoretical, so let me bring it to a practical point, something an image would help us with. The image I want to use is that of a candle. This Mass is excellent because candles are everywhere right now, but the most important one, the Paschal candle. The candle that was blessed, the candle that was brought in, the candle that represents everything we do. And I even sang a 15-minute song to the candle. Like, there's a point to this candle. But why is the candle important? The candle is important because of the light. It shines light in the darkness. If you've ever been in a really dark room, it doesn't take much to make the room luminous with light. Even the little flickering light of a candle, a tiny little flame, can bring so much ambiance, so much beauty, so much grandeur to a room. It's enough light that we can see without stumbling. Enough light where we can tell where things are. We can avoid dangers, see what's going on, find something just from the flickering flame of a candle. Today we have much better light, but that's not the point. I want to talk about the candle. And so in this way, the light represents something wonderful about the resurrection and how we can experience it. The light shines the darkness. And regardless of how dark, regardless of how much the darkness consumes us, surrounds us, changes our thoughts and patterns, that little light is enough to dispel it all. Boom, just like that. In a more profound and powerful way, the very idea of this light emanating through the darkness is permeating through all of creation itself. Our whole universe is filled with this duality between light and dark. But the light always wins. Even in a dark hole, the black holes, you know, the things that suck everything in, the place where the scientists go, there's where it ends. It doesn't. When the things start coalescing at the core, it actually emits light. So the core of all darkness is light. And this is what we celebrate. And somehow that little flickering flame shows us something powerful and profound about God. With a little bit, just a little nuance, just a little encounter with Him, it can flood our entire being with the joy of the resurrection. Something we have to experience. But for most of us, this doesn't come easy. Which leads us to the second part of the candle. The candle doesn't burn infinitely. Otherwise, I could just keep it lit. But it consumes the wax, and eventually it burns down to nothing. Which means if we really want to experience the resurrection, know the power of Jesus in our life, feel the joy that comes through that, we must keep that candle burning. It takes some work to protect it from the wind that can blow it out, to keep feeding it with prayers and disciplines and spiritual exercises so that we realize that God is there and keep building that relationship. It's not enough just to sit there. The candle constantly needs to be fed, either an oil lamp where you have to keep filling oil, or a candlestick where you keep adding pieces on so the candle never burns out. The same works for us. God may come and in a moment show us how powerful and profound He is. He may in just a breath help us realize who He truly is. But that's not enough. We must keep going. We must keep building it. We must let it grow and permeate and let the light shine in every dark place of our life, that the resurrection may have its true power in us. Because there's a point to all this, a point that's immensely profound, a point that summarizes everything we covered today and the entire year in itself. Whenever someone truly encounters God, they have a moment where they meet Him, a moment where they see Him, can touch Him, can feel His presence, can know He exists. In that moment, their lives are so amazingly, profoundly changed that they leave overjoyed. Not just joyful, overjoyed. Think of the shepherds at Christmas. When they encountered the angel, they were confused and scared, as I would be too. But then they went, and as the angel told them, and saw the child Jesus in the manger and left overjoyed. When the disciples finally realized that Jesus had risen from the dead, what was their experience? They were overjoyed at seeing the Lord. Our gospel writers make this point. It's not just joy anymore. A true encounter with a true and living God, the God that is more real than anything else we deal with, leaves us with joy. And this is our task too, to know the power of the resurrection, to feel it in our lives, to know for certainty that it's there, so that we too can be filled with the joy and the light that comes only from God and God Himself.